The following podcast is a production of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
My name is Eric Simmet, and we have with us today Professors Davis, Clark, Schwann, Bowles, and O'Neill. And this is the first year we're doing the first-year electives, and so just trying to integrate the first-year electives with the rest of your first-year curriculum. So we have them come in and talk about the classes they teach, and then how they relate to each other, and how their subjects relate to the other classes in the first year curriculum.
There's approximately an entire pound cake for each of you at the back.
Right, so now I'm figured out.
So, what would be the
activities
you have to teach? Should we assess these people separately, or should we assess them together?
I think just first maybe 5 minutes or so to discuss what the first year like to teach.
Okay. Well, I'm teaching a first year elective on legal ethics, and we had fun this morning because Professor Davis was instrumental in hosting the DC Court of Appeals that heard three arguments this morning, one of them directly related to legal ethics, so it was a lot of fun. And I was just saying to Professor Davis, will I have to do this? After our class, I went to lunch with the judges, and I just wanted to ask them some of the questions that came out of our discussion in class this morning. But legal ethics is a course not only focused on the rules of professional responsibility as they are and as they're reflected in the different state jurisdictions, but also what the rules should be, in light of what our aspirations are for the profession. So our discussion of the rules as they are is situated in the context of what the history of the profession has been, what its record has been on inclusivity, exclusivity, what its record has been on its own self-regulation. This is a profession that is said to regulate itself. Is it doing so effectively or not? As I say, throughout the course, our goal is not simply to learn what the rules are, but to critically evaluate them. And in that regard, since it is a course about the profession, about practice, it seems to be inherently related to all first-year topics. And I conducted a survey course where we looked at issues of criminal defense representation, government attorneys' representation. Next week we're looking at judges, issues of judicial conduct. Today in class we did a simulated negotiation, what were the issues that arose in the negotiation. Last week we looked at transnational legal ethics, and so many WCL folks want to practice before transnational bodies. What are the codes of conduct of government attorneys there? How does the particular understanding of professional behavior arise? Really, we look at the gamut, but very much in a survey manner. Anyone who would want to go in further depth into any one of these topics, I would welcome supervising a comment or an upper level paper. I want to mention something.
I teach the survey course on international law. This is different from the other survey course in international law. This one, Rick Wilson teaches use of international law in U.S. courts. My course is a broad survey of international law, not specific to how U.S. courts international law. My course, it's a very broad course. We look at those courses. I don't think anybody in my class is here today. But for those of you who may take international law or may be thinking of taking international law in the future, these courses cover, for instance, sources of international law, through the treaties, customary international law, and you look at the different actors in the system, states, what are the roles of the states, what happens when states fall apart, who assumes state responsibility, treaties, contracts, negotiations, and then what are international organizations and what is their role in the international system. We also look at the challenge of dealing with non-state actors, have a big impact in the international realm, like corporations, like non-governmental organizations. And then we also look at the relationship, and here is where it overlaps with the other first year elective in international law. We look at the relationship between international and domestic law. So we look at how it is that the U.S. enters into international agreements, different types of international agreements that the U.S. enters into. And then we also look at U.S. International law and U.S. courts. So we look, for instance, at the Alien Claims Act, and then also we look at the Act of State Doctrine, which is a doctrine that relates to when a claim can be brought against the government. And then we look at some other jurisdictional issues like foreign sovereign immunity, when you can't sue governments because of sovereign immunity, and we look at the reach of U.S. law into other countries. And then we turn to that gives the basic structure of international law, and then we turn to specific issues in international law to get a sense of how it operates with respect to problems. So we look at use of force, war in international law. When does international law legitimate the use of force? When does it constrain the use of force? And also look at how those two questions deal with when we can go to war. And then we also look at what states have to do in the context of waging war, international humanitarian law. And then we turn to a component on human rights law, which sets up the international human rights system and looks at specific problems when dealing with women's human rights trafficking. And then we also look at international criminal law, so we look at war crimes tribunals and the role they play in holding abuse accountable. And then we also look at international regulatory regimes. So we look at international environmental law and how it's structured and sort of problems that it can address. And then we also look at investment. Managing the global economy, look at bilateral investment treaties, to try to figure out how to balance the interests of investors versus the interests of states, their interest in protecting natural. And then we end the class looking at broader questions of what's the role of international law, to what extent is the idea of justice, what drives international law, or how much is that goal constrained by the fact that international law is ultimately so we look at the balancing of the way the system is structured versus the overarching goal of trying to I think if you have any interest in taking your advanced issues in international law, even though it's not a prerequisite to take the broad survey course, people going into a specialized course like humanitarian law or survey course, I think it's a good idea to take the broad survey course because you really need to understand the structures in international law to really get a sense of how the law works in which you live.
Hi, my name is Liz Bolt. I teach first year lessons in pretrial civil litigation. Basically, the course takes a fictitious case from the point of interviewing your client up to the point where you would write a motion for summary judgment. Basically, all of you through rhetoric should have done a memorandum of law in support of a motion or opposing a motion for summary judgment in the beginning of the semester. So the sort of goal of this first year elective was to take that experience and sort of backload it. You write this memorandum of law, and then you do this first year elective, and you understand all the things that an attorney would have gone through in order to get to a place where they write that memorandum of law in support of the motion for summary judgment. That's the idea. There is an upper level course in pretrial litigation. In that course, you would go through the process of discovery and then write the motion for summary judgment. So the difference between the first year elective and the upper class course is that it's flipped. In the first year elective scenario, you've done the motion for summary judgment ahead of time, and now we show you what an attorney would have done to get there. In the course, the students cover the basics of discovery. One, sort of understanding a client-centered approach, understanding where you come from and what your strategy is and the tactics involved in eliciting the proper information, understanding the law around the issue so you know what questions to ask and how to go about the information seeking function. Students do a lot of drafting. It is partly a drafting class. They draft interrogatories, they draft requests for admissions, they draft requests for professional documents. They take depositions in class, they interview clients in class, and ultimately they will do in-class negotiations, trying to deal with settling this case based on the information they receive at the end of class. So basically sort of a combination of in-class participation, drafting, and then sort of partly in-class lecture. as far as integration is concerned, hopefully it will provide some good integration with legal rhetoric, but also just put a little meat on the bones of what you're learning in civil procedure and get you sort of to understand the mechanics of the federal rules of civil procedure, sort of step away from sort of broader theory about it and get you into the day-to-day activities that lawyers do in trying to deal with the federal rules of civil procedure. That's ultimately the goal.
Responding if you've seen any difference in, you know, students from this year compared to past years that have had these electives, are they asking different questions, they're drawing different connections, or do you see the potential for that to happen, or how might these electives be sort of enhancing the traditional doctrinal experience students have had? And maybe elective professors have been, you know, seeing similar sort of things happening.
Well, I'm dual-hatted. Right? So I see legal ethics coming into my property class, and I see property coming into my legal ethics class. But yes, I do see the students who are enrolled in my legal ethics class asking different questions about representations in property than I've seen before. And Liz just touched upon this nicely in terms of her course being a client-centered model. That's one of the things talk about in legal ethics, what is the role of a lawyer? Is it as a zealous advocate? Is it as a neutral partisan? Or is it something else in terms of pursuing truth, justice? How does one do that? And issues of client-centeredness versus a more paternalistic role where the lawyer is counseling the client. And so I do see some leaving, if you will, integration, I guess, is more rather than leaving. You don't call this leaving. So, yes, I do.
Enjoy that a lot, seeing the integration there.
So what I'm trying to, you all can sort of refresh our recollection about the other electives that are being taught. One that, and Professor Hutchinson isn't here, but I know he teaches critical race theory, and I teach a lot of issues around race and criminal law, and so I could see some connections there. And I'm trying to think of the other electives. I'm not sure if there are other electives that maybe legislation. We came when we were available, but I think it may be more connections between my class and perhaps some of the other classes.
And I could see, but one test of how it's working will be tomorrow, actually, at NEMS in my constitutional law class. When we do Korematsu, I like to have a brief discussion about the fact that the government essentially lied to the Supreme Court. And what was the government's duty to disclose what it knew about that lie in its briefing. So, that's an ethics-related discussion. And in the past, I've been talking to a blank slate because nobody had any exposure to legal ethics when they were taking cop law. So I think maybe it's a richer discussion. I think there are probably connections. There are lots of other con law connections that maybe we're not making the most of and that we could take more advantage of. I mean, one of the things, and I can't speak for the other con law sections, so tell me if other sections have done this differently, but obviously the whole debate about the degree to which the Supreme Court can consider the values embodied in the decisions of other nations' courts when interpreting our Constitution is a fascinating debate. It's not something that we have time to spend a lot of time on in con law, and it's even more problematic because a lot of it gets cut out of the case books because it's deemed extraneous to the decision. So, for example, we did Lawrence versus Texas last week, and there's about a 10-line paragraph in which the Supreme Court talks about how the trend of states abolishing their sodomy laws is also matched by the court decisions of other countries decriminalizing sodomy. And that paragraph is not in the Chemerinsky casebook. I don't know whether it's in the other casebooks that people use. So, I mean, one way to think about this is that it might be good to look for opportunities to put some of that back in and be able to make the connections more clearly between, you know, just wave a flag and say, hey, folks, here's the moment when your international law class and your constitutional law class are intersecting, and maybe sort of be more overt about it and try to build some time in one place or the other to have some of those discussions. And, you know, this is the first semester we're doing this, so, I mean, I think part of the value of this is to kind of learn about the ways that we could make more connections, not just how we've done so far.
Of course, there are a lot of talks, especially from the beginners as an elective about counselors. Certainly, we're teaching some of the same, like McCleskey, my students. Some of my students have
Briefly.
Yeah. And then I actually, although I didn't teach Lawrence, we started out with Lawrence in Texas, and we talked about why it is that we criminalize certain types of games and others. So different perspective on the case, clearly there are my positions.
Any of the students here, do you have, I mean, short of things happening very obviously in class, are you on your own when you're reading, sort of having your doctrinal readings informed by these elective classes you're taking, or the other way around, you know, are you really bringing your doctrinal classes to bear on the elective reading you have, or, you know, what connections are you sort of building in just doing your own reading?
Can I just add one more quick point, and this is tangential, but the other thing I've seen, and then tell me if you think I'm off base here, but there are a couple of different places in the con law class where we talk about facial challenges versus applied challenges, and it seemed to me that because they had finished civil procedure, that there actually was a better comprehension of that point. So that sort of a side benefit maybe of the restructuring of the other courses. Anyway, I didn't mean to cut them off.
I will do see that because we're about to get to regulatory taking book property, and I have found people who have stumbled in the past over the distinction between the outside official and the patron.
I'm in the international law in U.S. litigation class, and I found a connection between, differing views between what Professor Wilson said about international treaties being law in the United States, and just how Professor Marcus, on the other hand, really recognizes international treaties as supreme law. and that sort of led to, you know, a little discussion between Professor Marcus and students that were also in my class. But it was interesting to sort of see, you know,
we had a debate between Justice Breyer and Justice Scalia, who you probably know, about 2 years ago here, which was in very much the same way tussling over that question as to whether international law, whether in the treaty form or more in the case decisions of other courts, held any
Scalia kept saying something about some judges in Zimbabwe telling me what to do.
Right.
I'm like, okay, why are you in Zimbabwe?
Right.
Anyway, sorry. It was a very interesting discussion. The main thing
okay. Is that podcasted anywhere?
It has been. Our, like, you know, million hits or what have you is our leverage.
Should go and check.
It would be definitely,
I think it's still on the website.
Yeah, it would be definitely worth listening. It was a particularly interesting exchange between Professor Herman Schwartz, who you all probably haven't met because he teaches at the seminar, and Justice Scalia. Mm-hmm. Justice Scalia got very angry and testy with Professor Schwartz. Lovely exchange. with him. It's definitely worth checking out.
So I'm in the pretrial class, and I find that it was a great way to put to make civil ISIF Pro tangible and sort of prepare me for a summer position. It put it all into context and perspective, because we read all these cases and it's sort of, it's like what happens in the back room, you know, how these cases actually come about and the process of litigation. And so I found that very helpful just in putting the picture together and the puzzle pieces. And, you know, oh, this is how, you know, lawyers put together these cases and prepare for trial. So it's a nice preparation for summer as well, and I feel like I'm a lot more prepared for a summer position.
Okay, so that's a question I have for you all, but starting with you, what will you be doing this summer, and have electives concretely contributed to decision making about summer plans?
So I'm working for a law firm, and they represent pharmaceutical companies, and I'm not very happy about it, but it's okay. It's a summer job.
Don't go in and tell them that first day.
No, I know.
Wow.
But they do a lot of interesting pro bono work as well, which is great because I can sort of get a feel of international law. But they do. It's nice to see. You know, to get a feel for torts, I guess, and as well, I guess I'm going to put pretrial litigation into practice, hopefully. So it's I feel prepared somewhat for the position, hopefully.
For others of you, have the electives been helpful in thinking about summer plans or even longer term? have they convinced you you are interested in a particular field, or even as usefully convinced you you're not interested in a particular, which I think is as useful?
Yeah, I'm in the admin law class, and I found it very useful over the semester having that and sort of understanding where that fits into our legal systems. I had absolutely no idea before. But my concern is that it is not substantial enough to replace an administrative law class. So now I'm going to, because it's such an important area of the law, going to have to take another class essentially and have two credits that basically mean the same thing, or two classes that mean the same thing. And I did not understand that going in to choosing my elective. And so I'm wondering if that isn't a little bit of a waste. So I guess that's my concern about the electives.
That was certainly a consideration in enacting the electives, moving to the elective system. To what extent would they be duplicating what's offered in the upper level curriculum, replacing what's offered? What was the relationship between the two? And I think because this is the first time there'll be some adjustments moving forward, probably what's best to do is to consult with faculty teaching the upper level courses and see what they think about where you stand and what it is you've been exposed to in this class, whether there's some specialized course that you could then move to, or whether in their view you would need to.
I think that would make sense if the professors that were teaching it had taught it as such, but I think they taught it figuring that we're going to go on and take the survey course after. Whereas if maybe they had taught it knowing that that would set us up to move and jump over the survey course, it may have moved faster or covered more ground.
You should give them that feedback.
You should.
That would be helpful.
Because this is the first year we're doing this. That was leading to my question, which was how long Joan felt about, I guess, two things. First, the ability, the opportunity to be able to have an elective and to choose a course, you know, in your second semester rather than having your entire first year pre-planned. And then secondly, you know, if you, in general, found the electives to be, maybe you enjoyed it and you liked it. Because this is the first year we've done it, and student feedback is important to us in figuring out, you know, how to do this differently next year, if, you know, if we need to do it differently, if there are changes we need to make, if people feel overburdened by having an elective on top of the other courses, just stop the night so often. Do I have any general thoughts?
I'm in the IP elective, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I did appreciate the opportunity to take something outside of the basic curriculum, and also with what we were saying earlier about making future plans, this is sort of something that I, you know, thought I might or might not be interested in. I have a science background, and of course, so you go into law school and everybody's like, oh, IP, and it's like, well, do I know that I really gonna enjoy that, especially because, you know, a lot of IP gets broken up into the three main categories, the copyright, patent, and trademark, and it's nice to be able to take something where you can get an overview of all three, find out, you know, do I like all of this, do I like some of this, is this really what I want to do, on top of IP being a fairly modern, you know, it has a lot of modern cases, you look at a lot of things that a lot of us kind of grown up with or heard about, and it's kind of a nice contrast to almost all the courses we've taken this year have been very historically based, which is great understanding, but it's nice, kind of refreshing to have something that's very based in, you know, it so changes so quickly. A lot of the case, while it is more modern, but I think it's really fantastic. My only complaint would be, I don't particularly like meeting once a week. I don't feel like it keeps me, I feel almost like we have to review everything every time we step into the classroom because we haven't seen, you know, we haven't thought about it for 7 days or haven't been working on it for 7 days.
I think it was good. I took the interviewing decision with the professor at Interstate, and I liked it because it's very different than your regular class to, you get to work on like a different skill set that's questioning client relationships, which you don't really even think about your first year, but is really, really important to be a good lawyer. So I've enjoyed thinking about things in a very different way than you do in your doctrinal courses.
Has it led you to think differently about what you'll do hereafter? What your goals were?
No, I knew what I wanted to do before, so I'm still on that track.
But it probably makes you think in terms of role and relationship.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Well, I think the whole elective structure is a very good idea. I mean, I'm enjoying my class very much. And, I came in studio focusing on international human rights, actually strengthen that. And I was sort of afraid of the whole international law not being, very grounded as law, I don't think, especially in the United States. But then by taking this class, it gives you some type of insurance, okay, and that you can actually do something. Although it's an uphill battle, at the same time, it's possible. So I'm still going to pursue what I want to do and everything.
No, in the future with the change of administration, we might begin to recognize there's an international law there that we have to recognize. Just keep your eye on the future. Different leadership, who knows, right? We may join the rest of the world.
Any parting thoughts from anyone or more questions or anything like that? Well, hopefully this is just sort of the start of the dialogue that the professors will have, among themselves and with students, and students have among themselves, and there will be a chance to fill out a survey on the elective experience, as well as, individual classes will have evaluations too. So, we're interested in trying to figure out how we can continue to build the connection between the electives and between the doctrinal classes, throughout the coming years. So, we appreciate everyone being here in this conversation.